can't see, I'm in the thunder. I be feeling like I'm chick. You switch up like KD, Draymond, don't give me a tick. Ain't getting no rest, I wrapped it right off my chest.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Season 2, Episode 4 of the Fan Take. Same crew as usual. I'm Cam, and you know we got my boy Tweety over here. Tweety, what you got to say to the people?
On the court to fit the culture. Very excited for this episode right here, you know. Very important, but we've been doing great on the video show. I just want to ask everybody, can they like and subscribe to the video and get out to more people, and we can continue doing this. We've been growing great, and I love y'all guys.
Absolutely. Game 7, the best two words in sports, NBA Finals 2025. You got the OKC Thunder winning their first championship in their short franchise history spanning since 2008, the second finals run ever in their franchise. You got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Shai Butter, the MVP, finals MVP as well. Put on a great performance the entire 2025 NBA Finals. What do you have to say about the finals as a whole?
Man, I have a lot to say about the finals. It was one of the best finals I've seen in a minute, man. Even the fact that we won the finals, like, as an OKC Thunder fan, been here a long time, you know, been through the struggle and everything. Even just because we won don't make it the best finals. It was so competitive, like, it was up and down all the time. You never know who was going to win the game. Even when Halliburton went down, you still thought they had a chance because they were still in the fight. Thunder just ended up going on one of those runs that they've been going on all season. They was able to maintain enough of the lead, so the game wasn't even really scary past what, fourth quarter, 8 minutes left. It was like, okay, we know that OKC Thunder can pull this out. We can win. We was already celebrating, man. We had everybody crying. I mean, it was so much emotion in OKC every single game. You felt like every game was game 7, man. OKC was lit. The Indiana was the same way. I mean, going in enemy territory every time, I felt like we was going to lose. Because they were the same way our crowd was. I mean, this finals was like so much enthusiasm, so much energy, man. Everybody was watching. Nobody knew who was going to win. From the polls I seen a little more people going for Indiana towards like the end of the series because they was like, okay, they ball and Halliburton doing this thing. But OKC ended up, you know, coming in the thing against favorites and ended up pulling out the win.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty good series. Obviously, went to a game 7, the first game 7, you know, in NBA Finals since 2016. Obviously, 2016 was the one that LeBron James and the Cavaliers finally brought it home. But yeah, the first game 7 since 2016. Very competitive series. Basically, every game was competitive besides, I believe it was game 6, where the Pacers, you know, extended the series at home to get it to a game 7. They basically kind of blew the Thunder out the water. But for the most part, it was pretty competitive series, game by game. I'm not going to say everybody was watching because everybody was not watching.
Yeah, viewership was low.
Viewership was low. The final numbers haven't came out yet. But, I mean, you knew that coming into the series, knowing that you had two small NBA markets make it to the NBA Finals. Obviously, Shai is the MVP, but you know, and Shai got his cult following, but Shai, you know, hasn't made his fandom to the point where other guys are, like, you know, LeBron and Steph Curry, KD. I mean, you know, it's not fair comparing him to them. Tyrese Halliburton, like I said, he has his cult following, but he still hasn't made it to that level that, you know, some other superstars are on. But, you know, for two franchises to be in NBA Finals that are small, don't have a lot of national viewership for the most part, national fandom for the most part, but they came out and played a very, very competitive series. Breaking down some of the numbers a little bit, obviously Shai Gilgeous-Alexander won the finals MVP. He averaged 30 points in the finals to go along with 4.5 rebounds and 5.5 assists. And Pascal Siakam, who was the Eastern Conference MVP, he averaged 19 points per game, 7.7 rebounds per game, and 3.5 assists. He had 3.7 assists. Obviously, Tyrese Halliburton went down with an injury, and I believe it was game 5. He had calf injury, and, you know, it was kind of questionable how, you know, he was going to go for the rest of the series. Obviously, he came out of game 6 and looked like, you know, nothing was wrong with him at all. He had a real good game. And then game 7, you know, tragically, everybody has seen it. He came out of the game hot. He was like, he hit 3 of his first 4 shots, all 3 of them was 3-pointers. And a few minutes into the game after that. He fell down with a leg injury, the same leg that he had the calf injury in. And then obviously after the game, it came out that he had the Achilles. What do you think about that injury for for Tyrese Halliburton?
I mean, that injury is devastating, but it's the way of basketball. I mean, every time you see a good run, even if it this year, last year, these whole seven past last years, it always ends in the injury, man. The storybook team that you think can just come and steal the game, they always end up getting injured, and it's crazy to see, man. It was heartbreaking. Even I was a little sad. I was like, man, Tyrese down. I wanted to win because I wanted to win this with the full, you know, full OKC, full pace because I like to feel a little more accomplished, you know. Even though I'm not on the court, you know, I feel like I'm a part of the team, man. I love the OKC Thunder. There's a lot of talk about Halliburton, man. I don't see too much talk about Siakam. Siakam was the best player on that team the whole playoffs, man. I don't care what nobody talking about. Siakam was that guy where every time he got the ball, I thought he was going to score. I was so scared of that man in this series, man. Every time he got the ball, he got straight to the rim. He got to the basket. He got to work. Siakam was that guy keeping them games close, man. I think what he averaged, like, what, 21? For the series, 2019, something like that.
Siakam had averaged 19.
Yeah, man, he was balling, man. He was going crazy. He was getting rebounds. He was everywhere. I mean, he was on defense, getting great blocks last night. I mean, that man Siakam was scary, man. He was the best player on the places by far.
For sure. Pascal Siakam was very, very impressive these playoffs, especially in the conference finals and the finals. Obviously, like I mentioned earlier, he was the Western Conference Finals MVP when, you know, a lot of guys was kind of thinking that Tyrese Halliburton was going to get it. Tyrese Halliburton thought he was going to get it as well, but Pascal Siakam, Spicy P, was able to come away with that Finals MVP in the West. Transitioning to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, Shai Butter. Shai had a pretty legendary season. When you look at the stats, when you look at some of his accomplishments, he's the first player to win Finals MVP, League MVP, and scoring champ in the same season since Michael Jordan did it in the 90s. What do you think about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's run this year, and what do you think it means for his stature going forward in the league?
I think he's the second best player in the world right now. I'm going to debunk a lot of this stuff. Man, MVP James Harden, MVP LeBron James shot more free throws than him. He shoot free throws, man, but it's the way he playing the game. It's the way he get into the bucket. So I'm not trying to I need people to stop trying to, like, make this season seem less than what it was. Man, it was one of the great seasons of all time, man. It was top five for sure, top 10 probably. I mean, finals MVP, MVP, led a team to, what, 6 to 8 wins? Man, that man played great this season. This was one of the best seasons we've ever seen, you know, being alive. Bro, this is one of the best seasons we've seen since we started watching basketball, man. That man
For one person, for sure.
For sure. Because, no, OKC still has a lot of room to grow, and that's crazy to even say because how we dominate this season. But this is more on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Man, crafty buckets. He was by far the best scorer on the court this year. I ain't seen nobody score that smooth in a long time, man. He was mixing dudes up. He was hitting mid-range. He was getting to the rim. Anytime you needed him, he was going to take 5 to 10 shots, and he was going to make half, and he was going to bring you back. He was going to rally. He played defense. He had blocks. Man, that man played amazing this season. It was just great watching somebody play that good on your team, you know, knowing that you had guys like Westbrook, Harden, and KD before. You never thought you was going to get a guy like that this soon, man. That man, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he got the people in OKC. He got them feeling good, man. He played great. Now, all of them MVP. He's well deserved. Well, probably MVP was a little, you know, less deserved, but, you know, he still played good enough to get it. He was good enough to be in the conversation to have everybody thinking, yeah, like, who's gonna win? Champ. You feel what I'm saying? Scoring champ, what he averaged, what, 32.1? Man, that man, I can't keep hearing the 32.7. slander. 32.7. I can't keep hearing the slander on this season, man. It was a great, efficient season, man. What he shot, 55%? He shot a great percentage, too. I want to put all of it in there, man. Man, it was great.
He shot 46% from the field and 28% from the three-point line.
Horrible from the three-point line. You got to get that better. But
man, he's a mid-range scorer,
man,
for sure.
From the mid-range, I ain't going to lie. If Shai gives out and get that three down, hey, we might be having some conversation.
Oh, my bad. I'm tripping. That was playoff numbers.
This is
regular season numbers. He was averaged 32.7 points for the season on 51.9% shooting from the field and 37.5% shooting three-point line and 89.8% shooting from the free throw line.
I just want to know praise they got, man, because this is something we haven't seen since Jokic, 2 years ago? Like, just dominate the whole season? Mm-hmm. Like, this was special.
It was definitely special. Obviously, like I mentioned, Shea, first time since Michael Jordan, Finals MVP, regular season MVP, scoring champion. And obviously, he's going to be the first guy to do it with the conference MVP. Obviously, conference MVP only got instituted a few years ago. So that's going to be, one of the next, accolades that guys and superstars in the future are going to try to grab that conference MVP along with the other season titles and things like that. So, yeah, a little historical context. This marks the 7th different NBA champion in 7 years. That's parity that we haven't really seen for quite a while in the NBA. And obviously, the Oklahoma City Thunder are the 2nd youngest NBA champions since the 1975 Trailblazers, with obviously led by Bill Walton. So, very historic company, for Oklahoma City Thunder, and very historic company just for the NBA in general. Why does mine look so dark? I don't have the light boxes on.
It did look a little dark, but
I don't have the light boxes on.
Yeah, I was like, it didn't look bad, but it did look a little dark.
All right, so now talking Kevin Durant to the Houston Rockets. Yes, Kevin Durant, the trade that we've all been looking for the last couple episodes. Kevin Durant has been acquired by the Houston Rockets from the Phoenix Suns in a trade that includes Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, their 2025 first round pick, number 10, and 5 future second round draft picks. Kevin Durant, who's now 36 years old, going to turn 37 next season, has averaged 26.6 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, and 4 assists last season. He's still shooting elite, including nearly 40% from the 3-point line, and his contract runs through the 2025-2026 season with eligibility for a 2-year, $122 million extension starting July 6th. Now, obviously, we've talked about possible destinations for Kevin Durant. Obviously, we included Houston Rockets in that mix. Very strong fit. He got Ime Udoka there. Ime Udoka was on the bench for the Brooklyn Nets as an assistant coach when Kevin Durant was there. Obviously, the Celtics, led by Ime Udoka, would sweep the Kevin Durant-led Nets a couple years ago when they ran up against the Nets in the first round of the NBA playoffs. So what do you think about this trade, first off, for the Houston Rockets?
Man, I say this all the time. I'm like, we shouldn't, jump to get happy because superstars get traded to teams and they have to lose a lot to get traded to the team. But I will say this wasn't a bad trade on Houston side rather than the lot of second-round draft pick. I believe you probably can find a gem within those, but those are sort of useless to some people. You didn't really give up that much. You gave up Jalen Green, who was horrible in the playoffs. You gave up Devin Brooks, who kind of shied away in the playoffs because I definitely put money on him by 2 times, and I remember him dropping 3 and 4 points. So I remember him playing around in the playoffs too. So you really gave up 2 guys that can't finish in the playoffs. Well, they were still kind of young. I think Dylan Brooks is, 24, 25? Jalen Green, what, about the same, 23, 24?
Jalen Green is
probably 23, 22. He's still pretty young.
Yeah, he's still pretty young. He was born in 02, so he's 23.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, Jalen Green, 23. Dylan Brooks probably a year older than that, something like that. Those guys were fairly still young. Get KD 37-year-old. He's going to come in there. He's going to ball. He's going to do probably the same thing both of those two players were doing anyway. So I don't really think you gained anything off the trade. You gave up the pick that's coming up in the draft, and you probably do need one more player to play. I see here they got VanVleet, Amir Thompson, Jabari Smith, KD, and Sengun starting. That sounds like a solid five that can get them back to that number two seed if they max out, you know, what they can accomplish. You got Aaron Holiday, Cam Whitmore, Tari Eason, Jason Tate, Jeff Green, Stephen Adams, Landale down there. I mean, that's a solid roster. I'm not really looking too bad on it. I'm looking at them to be able to grab the. They was the second seed last year. So, like, I'm really putting it to the point. You got KD. Now I'm looking at you to grab that third seed, mm-hmm. second seed. I'm looking at you to still be in that range where you playing a home playoff. At least, no, 1-4. I need you to be up in there, you know, with Kevin Durant being at it.
Yeah. And update, Dylan Brooks is 29.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's been around the block for a long time. Oh, my God. Yeah. But, yeah, he was on the Grizzlies when I was in middle school, so he's been here for a minute.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, as you said, very good trade as far as on the Rockets side. They give up Jalen Green, who obviously was a young piece, but he's still, you know, is a big work in progress. Very athletic guard. He can shoot a little bit, quick, all the things, but he's still a pretty raw prospect. And if the Houston Rockets want to win now, Kevin Durant is a win now move. Dylan Brooks, he's a franchise pusher as far as, you know, helping the Grizzlies get to where they got a couple years ago left, helped the Houston Rockets get to the second seed last year, and now he's departing again. I think he's just one of those guys that's just going to help you push a franchise forward a little bit, but you're probably not going to win with him, and, you know, he'll be a valuable trade piece.
Patrick Beverly. More like a Patrick Beverly type. You feel me? Yeah, he kind of more like a Patrick Beverly type.
Yeah. And, talk about draft picks. 5 second-round picks, I mean, you know, I'll get it for Kevin Durant. It probably hurts you a little bit to give away that 10th pick in this year's draft. You probably could have, you know, got you a good prospect, good lottery pick. But, you know, if they feel like Kevin Durant can win them a championship in the next 2 years, I mean, that's you know, worth the trade. And, you know, I'm pretty sure, I mean, even though they're going to be good next year, they probably, you know, get a good trade, get some good trade value somewhere to get a good pick in 2026. So, I'll definitely give it up for Kevin Durant. And as you mentioned, you know, we talked about, you know, the hesitancy of trading for these older superstars with, you know, very high capital. But I feel like this is very reasonable capital for Kevin Durant.
I was seeing something where the Rockets still kind of had a little bit to try to get Giannis. Feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I don't really think that's realistic. I don't really think they want to give up all their draft capital and, you know, had to give up 2 more players to bring in Giannis. But, you know, if you had Thompson, KD, Giannis, and St. Gone, man, you're going to do some things. So.
Yeah, we can talk about Giannis a little bit, but before we get into Giannis, stick a little bit with KD. There was a little talk as far as, like, with the Knicks. The Knicks wasn't on Kevin Durant's list, but obviously the Knicks would have loved to acquire Kevin Durant, and it seems like that fell through because they just don't have the capital to get Kevin Durant. Obviously, they gave away 5 first-round picks to get Mikal Bridges a year earlier, and they probably don't have that many much player capital that they want to give away to acquire a Kevin Durant. And then the Minnesota Timberwolves, I saw reports where they were very, very aggressive with trying to get Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant just didn't want to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves, which, I mean, you know, I feel like the Timberwolves would be a good destination, but hey, he didn't want to go. The Heat, it fell between the Heat, the Spurs, and the Rockets, which are all places that Kevin Durant wanted to go. It seemed like the Heat just didn't have a good enough deal to be out the Rockets. And it looked like the Spurs kind of just held back for whatever reason. So, yeah, last two was between the Heat and the Rockets, which, you know, looks like the Rockets were just able to outbid the Heat. So what do you think about some of those other destinations that fell through for Kevin Durant?
If you ever really pay attention to how Kevin Durant picks the places that he wants to go, he always picks teams that's in that, 2-7 range, you know, that's in the playoffs. Then he likes to more go for, like, He always picks like an area each time he wants to get traded. I feel like he was aiming towards Texas at this point. He was going Spurs, Rockets. I feel like those were the two more realistic choices out of this whole thing. You know, I wanted him to go to Memphis, you know. Kind of him in Minnesota wouldn't be bad. I mean, he can bring Minnesota down. They could not win. You know, they can keep doing. They can do what the Nets and them did, you know, get old players and lose again. Because I hate Minnesota. You feel what I'm saying?
Why you hate Minnesota?
I hate Minnesota.
Why do you hate Minnesota?
I hate when people get compared to the glorious Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and they are nowhere near him. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and it was, you know, you're cool, but you're 24 points per game. So, humble yourself. But, you know, Kevin Durant, you know, he can make some impact out there in Houston. You feel what I'm saying? He can make some impact out there. But in Miami is just Miami, man. I don't know. I can't really say nothing about Miami because, like, it's like they be okay, then they be okay, and they be okay, and then, you know.
They still got some young pieces. They got Hakez Jr. I saw reports so they didn't want to give him away.
What?
They didn't want to give away Tyler Hero, obviously. So they didn't want to give away Bam. He's a franchise cornerstone. Yeah. So I guess he just didn't have the capital.
Yeah, I mean, Duncan Robinson, nobody wants him. Like, I'm not trying to bash nobody. I'm just saying, like, nobody wants Duncan Robinson except the Miami Heat or except a team that, you know, needs to pass out the shooters or something. But, like, nobody, no, come on, man. You ain't really got nothing in Miami to be making no trades for anybody. They're good. Y'all need to start building some pieces then, try to look for some trades.
So you mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo a little bit. A few offseason rumors. The Bucks probably could just shake up and retool their roster around Giannis Antetokounmpo instead of actually trading Giannis Antetokounmpo. So some analysts are saying that Milwaukee could aggressively retool around Giannis, targeting players like RJ Berry, Chris Porzingis, Lonzo Ball, or trying to clear some cap space and promising some depth signings around Giannis. So what do you think about some of these rumors about the Bucks possibly just retooling their roster instead of actually trading away Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo?
I feel like it's rebuild time more than, like, you can, you know, fix some things up, but I like Kuzma, man. I've always liked Kuzma. I feel like Kuzma can be a solid player. He can be a solid player. I wouldn't say he is a solid player. He can't be a solid player. I like Kuzma. Dame, it's like one of those guys that's kind of hard to trade because, like, who really want Dame? You feel what I'm saying? Like, a lot of people probably do, but a lot of people don't. You know, teams that are on the driving point, I know a team that could take Dame, the Minnesota Timberwolves. You feel what I'm saying? That's a team that, you know, could take somebody like Dame, you know, somebody that's a point guard that's ready to score and win. But it's not a lot of teams in that position that just, they just need that one guard. You feel what I'm saying? So it's not, Dame really don't got too many places to land. I mean, I feel like Giannis,
especially with Andrew.
Yeah, right. I feel like Giannis is the only thing you can move at this point that makes, like, 100% sense. You can try to build around him. I mean, Porzingis is definitely going to have to be moved because the Celtics are running out of cap right now, and he's probably the person they don't want on the team the most because, you know, injuries, and he, you know, bouncing in and out of lineups and things. I try to attack Porzingis, and you can get Porzingis, Kuzma, Giannis, Dame, you know. Hey, I might be sold on that lineup to be in like a 4th, 5th seed type. But that's Giannis Antetokounmpo, man. He got to get back up to the 2nd, 3rd, 1st seed, man. I feel like he should just be rerouted. Like, I feel like it's just over with in Milwaukee. I feel like in the next 3 years, you won't win the championship. You probably, if he stayed there, he'd probably win 1, 4, 5 years down the line. But you're just going to have to go through too much, man. I don't feel like he has enough time in his career to just, because he's a run jump man, so he's gonna have a little bit of a short career. I mean, he got about 5 years left in him,
yeah,
but
he's
all
30
that,
now,
yeah, all that running and jumping, it gonna catch up with you. So, I feel like he need to be rerouted and find another destination to try to get him another championship for you. At that thing, you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think at this point, it's just all about what Giannis wants to do. Obviously, Giannis, I mean, he sounds like he really loves Milwaukee. He doesn't really want to leave Milwaukee, but he also wants to win, and he wants to win right now. And he wants to be competitive every single year. So I think it's all about, you know, what Giannis wants. Because, I mean, you know, if you look at the past in the league, you had Dirk Nowitzki, who was a lifer for the Mavericks, who, you know, was competitive in 2006, that lost NBA Finals. A couple of years later, they retooled to come back 2011. They win the NBA Finals, so with basically a whole new roster. Kobe Bryant, they had a dynasty with Shaq. He went down a couple of years. They retooled around him, got some Pau Gasol, Andrew Bynum, Lamar Odom, and they won again 2009-2010. A couple of years later, they tried to retool with Dwight Howard. It didn't work, but you can constantly see, and what I'm trying to say is you have a franchise cornerstone. You be competitive for a couple of years, retool, try to get more back competitive and get back in the championship contending window. So I think it's all about what Giannis wants to do. If he wants to be traded, just trade him. It'll make your life easier. But if he wants to stay, I believe that the Bucks can, you know, has a path to retooling their roster. Because you look at how they won with Giannis Antetokounmpo. I mean, they had traded for Chris Middleton from the Detroit Pistons. They traded for Drew Holiday, which was obviously probably the X factor in that championship that they won in 2021. Traded for Brooke Lopez. So, I mean, it's not like they don't know how to make moves to retool for players because they did it before for that 2021 championship.
All you have right now is Kyle Kuzma, man. That's Kyle Kuzma. So,
yeah,
like,
he didn't play too good.
Yeah, I'm looking at like, yeah, y'all need to make some sudden movements, like pretty quick, like get on it. Like yeah. either if Giannis do decide not to even just leave this year, mm-hmm. well, he could have two, three more years left in his contract.
I believe so.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think he got 2 more years left.
Even if he don't leave this year, if you don't make any sudden movements, man, get up out of there, Giannis. Get up out of there, man. Ain't no point in that.
I mean, I feel bad for Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma, he had to rock in Washington D.C. and
that really more Poole fault than Kuzma. Though. Yeah, I feel like Poole just chucked up a lot of shots. Kuzma was actually out there trying, man. He was trying. He used to drop a little 12, 14. Yeah. Kuzma was trying. I mean, Poole was just he was just shooting. So.
Yeah. And then, you know, he gets sent to the Milwaukee Bucks in the middle of the season. I don't think he wanted to leave Chocolate City in the middle of the season to go to Milwaukee Bucks. I'm just going to say
yeah, Milwaukee is pretty lame.
It's pretty rare that you see this, but during the NBA Finals, the Pacers actually made a trade as far as a draft pick to the New Orleans Pelicans during the NBA Finals. They traded their 2025 first round pick, a 23rd pick with the Pelicans 2025 first round pick, the number 7 pick. So they basically swap picks and meaning next year they have a chance to swap picks again. So what do you think about the Pacers trading for the number 7 pick in this year's NBA draft?
And the pick from who?
New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay. Hey, it looking like they might get a championship, man. Yeah. Number 7 pick. I mean, it's a good little swap. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't know why the Pelicans agreed, but yeah, do they weird. Just have a pick swap on them already from a prior trade?
No, this is so from what I read, basically they swapped each other's first round picks for this year, and then next year they're going to swap their picks again. So basically.
I still don't understand why New Orleans took that, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know either.
I mean, okay, New Orleans, time to get you. I don't know if you just know something deep in the draft or something that you could just get at number 23. Yeah. Okay, whatever, but you need a number 7 pick. What are you going to do, Trey Zion? What are you looking at doing? I'm trying to get the focus on what are you looking at doing right now. New Orleans, you're one of those teams that I always felt like can go from 11 to 1. You got Zion Williams. You had Brandon Ingram. You let him go. You had DeJounte Murray. You still got him out there. Mm-hmm. Bro, you have a solid roster. Stop making dumb decisions. Y'all mm-hmm. keep making stupid decisions. You're like the Steelers. You're starting to become the Steelers. New Orleans, you got to make some type of smart decision. But I'm talking about Indiana right here. Mm-hmm. Indiana, great move. Get this number 7 guy. You get him. You bring him in. He can probably be a decent guy. I feel like who is that dude I've been hearing? Ace Bailey, that like mm-hmm. number 4 or 5. But he been trying to talk crazy. Mm-hmm. Bring him in, man. He might drop. Bring mm-hmm. him in. You know, you have your good guy. You win your championship next year. You know, Halliburton get his, you know, his get back, man. I'll be happy for you, man. We got this year, so you know, Indiana, I like that move.
Yeah. I guess they feel like they have a chance. I guess they feel like they have a chance of being competitive next year. So maybe they want to swap with the Pacers just in case the Pacers don't, you know, play well next year after the Tyrese Halliburton trade. I don't know. But saying draft boards are now saying that they may take Asa or Asa Newell, a forward out of Georgia, 6'11". He's projected to be around. He's projected to be available around this spot where the Pelicans are now drafting at number 23. So maybe they feel like he can, you know, be a good player for them, and maybe they have a chance of getting an even better pick next year in the 2026 NBA draft.
Maybe just okay. I wanted to think about that when Tyrese Halliburton got hurt. I was like, okay, the speediest, speed recovery. Like
Achilles takes a year.
Yeah, know what I'm saying? Even a speedy recovery is February, March. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, maybe we don't see that much with Tyrese Halliburton. We might see probably 10 of the last 15 games of him next season, and he's still not going to be 100%. You feel what I'm saying? Maybe we just see that. I mean, I still wouldn't bank on the Pacers being that horrible, even from that. You still got Siakam down there. You still got McConnell looking like he might end up...
TJ Nash.
He might end up in his career off being a 14, 15-point-per-game type guy. So, I mean, if you still got that, I still got faith that the Pacers can still be a 6-7 seed, and the Pelicans just completely messed up. But, you know, it's New Orleans. They're gonna mess up, so...
Okay, so some other big news around the NBA, the National Basketball Association. The Los Angeles Lakers now have a new owner. Mark Walter bought the Lakers for a record $10 billion, skyrocketing the previous franchise value NBA of the $6.1 billion sale of the rival Boston Celtics. The former ownership of the Lakers, obviously headed by Jeannie Buss and the Buss family, who's been owner of the Lakers since 1979. Obviously, they had a legendary owner, Jerry Buss, who was obviously the owner for all the Lakers dynasties that we've come to know and love. And the Busses, the family, will continue to hold a 15% ownership in the Los Angeles Lakers, but Mark Walter is not a majority owner. If you don't know Mark Walter is the owner of the LA Dodgers, the most recent World Series champion in baseball, MLB, but he also owns Chelsea FC Football Club and the LA Sparks. Actually, I didn't know that. So what do you think about this this move for Los Angeles Lakers franchise?
I was gonna say something so crazy. I just had to think about it. I was gonna be like a new master, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to say it, you know what I'm saying? I'm just gonna put it like that. But that's just a little inside joke type thing. Don't take it too serious. I mean, I never thought the Lakers management was bad, but like now I'm starting to hear things that like they was kind of bad.
They've been shaky.
I never knew anything, but I had to realize, okay, since you made all these bad moves, it got to be something wrong. Which I mean, since 2020, you've been making nothing but bad moves. Especially after 2020.
Yeah.
After 2020, you probably one of the worst franchises just making moves, man. You were just doing dumb things. I mean. Yeah. You almost got it this year. If you would have got Mark Williams and he wouldn't have failed that physical, you almost had it. I ain't gonna lie. You might have won a playoff series of two. You almost had it this year.
Yeah.
But, man, these last 5 years for the Lakers have been horrible, man. From picks, from, man. Connect got a little light on him. I say a little light on Connect.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, the things that Los Angeles have been doing management-wise, these last 5 years have been horrible. So, I mean... looking at a new system might not be too bad, but I just want to see how it work out. I mean, right now, I really can't say anything. I mean, the LA Dodgers won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I just want to see what's going to be different.
Yeah, and I've been a Lakers fan. I kind of know the ups and downs with the ownership. Obviously, before Jeannie Buss took ownership, it went to the first child in line after Jerry Buss passed away was his son. I can't remember his name, but the son was not doing things right, and Jeannie Buss decided to snatch the ownership away from him, and their brother actually sued Jeannie for control back of the Lakers. So you got some family fight in there. But Jeannie Buss, I mean, for the most part, she's done her best since taking control of the Lakers in the early mid 2010s. I'd say won a championship in 2020, but before LeBron got there, it was looking pretty spooky for the Lakers. I mean, I remember the time when the Lakers was on TV every day on, you know, all the sports shows talking about just how bad the organization was looking. And obviously LeBron came in, turned it around, used his clutch connections to get Anthony Davis over there. They won a championship in 2020. And then after that, 2020 season, the 2020 championship, it just got a little spooky. He traded away Alex Caruso, which I thought was an amazing piece. Obviously, he helped the Thunder this year. He was helping the Bulls for a little while. They decided to go with Montrezl Harrell, the short 6'8 center, instead of keeping JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard on board. Dwight Howard's story is a completely different thing. Dennis Schroeder, I mean, Dennis Schroeder was a very good player when he first came to the Lakers. And, you know, he had a spooky first season with the Lakers, which, you know, he was kind of shunned, he exiled from L.A. Then he came back and had a good season for L.A. So he had an up-and-down journey with the Lakers. Russell Westbrook is probably the biggest stain on the Lakers organization during his last, you know, 5 years. They got LeBron and AD to talk him to bringing in Russell Westbrook, which I still don't understand because...
He wasn't horrible, man. He's all right. He wasn't Westbrook, but he was all right.
The Russell Westbrook Lakers run is a whole podcast episode. But anyway, the Russell Westbrook trade was obviously, I mean, terrible for the Lakers. And then I give him his props. Rob Pelinka, the way he was able to get off of Russ and then bring all those other guys, Jerry Vanderbilt and Rui Hachimura and all that, he deserved to be Zeko of the Year that year when he did that.
Rui Hachimura?
Yeah. What?
Continue.
Rui Hachimura? He's been great for the Lakers.
Has he?
Yes. He's like our fourth best player outside of Austin Reeves. Rui Hachimura has been balling. The year we went to the conference finals, he was amazing.
Yeah, let me say.
We found a diamond in the rough of Rui Hachimura.
He has some off games. Some important moments too. In some important moments, he has some off games. Zero rebounds. I remember he did a lot.
He's a small power forward. But anyways, long story short, the Lakers have been very up and down the last few years. And obviously, you talk about issues with money. Would you say the Lakers, why they got issues with money? It's because the Lakers is a family-ran business. Their only business is the Lakers. They have no other venture outside of the Los Angeles Lakers. But you talk about this new guy, Mark Walter, who's, you know, the owner of the LA Dodgers. First off, winner. Also owns the LA Sparks. Also owns the soccer club. So he has money. He has a very large venture group. So the Lakers shouldn't have no problem with money moving forward.
The problem they have with money is LeBron James. Stop paying LeBron James so much money. LeBron James, take a pay cut. Become Tom Brady. Man, you're old. You're 40. Take a pay cut. There's no reason for you to be.
He's definitely taking a pay cut. He's taking a pay cut. He isn't getting the money that he's supposed to be getting.
Bro, he's still getting the max, but he's not
getting the money he's supposed to be getting.
He shouldn't be top 10 paid in the league right now.
I don't think he is top 10 paid in the league.
LeBron is top 10 paid in the league right now. LeBron shouldn't be that high. He shouldn't be that much paid. LeBron, you made your money. Now it's time for you to get one more ring so we can be talking crazy Jordan lovers so we can be saying you're number one. We don't care about your money no more. You got to be up. We need you to win a ring.
He is not top 10 paid in the league right now.
How is he not?
Because he definitely takes pay cuts. So number one is Stephen Curry with $59 million. Number two, Joel Embiid with $55 million. Tied with Nikola Jokic with $55 million. Kevin Durant is number four with $54 million. Jason Tatum, $54 million. Jimmy Butler, $54 million. Anthony Davis, $54 million. Damian Lillard, $54 million. Giannis, $54 million. And Bradley Beal, $53 million.
He number 12. Bro, the only reason he is not top 10 is because some of these contracts are completely horrible. Damn little contract. That's put that in another episode or whatever, off season talk. Bro, some of these contracts are horrible. But LeBron, I need
he's to see. He's 14. 48 million.
Okay. I need to see about 42. You're really 30. You realize well, you are really on the work by 35. But I need to see about 42. You feel what I'm saying? You make 42 million a year, we can bring you. Why did I say we? I'm not a Laker fan. You can bring in somebody else. You can bring in a decent center. You feel me? You can probably get Porzingis in the free agency if you cut LeBron down a little bit. I mean, you might be able to finesse right there, man. You get somebody that can get some rebounds. Real Hachimura cannot grab a rebound. Get somebody that can get some rebound down there, man. I see the Lakers doing something next year.
Jimmy Butler, Giannis, and Damian Lillard are 11, 12, and
13. Jimmy Butler got a horrible contract. No, I'm talking about that. He's only worth 37.
If there wasn't a cap in the NBA, LeBron would be the top paid every single year. Yeah. Because, I mean, you talk about LeBron, his value goes way beyond on the court.
That man is not top five value players right now.
He definitely is.
He's
still the face of the league at 40 years old. He's the face of the league at 40 years old.
But, okay, so you tell me it's not five guys that are valued more on their team than LeBron is valued.
I'm not talking about value to the team. LeBron is valued to the league.
Oh, yeah, of course.
LeBron is valued to the league.
He makes money,
of course. He's bigger than the Lakers.
Yeah.
He's bigger than the Lakers.
He makes money, for sure. He makes money.
Yeah.
I mean, they just sold the Lakers for $10 billion. He probably got half that himself. So, you know what I'm saying? It's LeBron. You know what I'm saying? He probably could have bought the Lakers himself. I don't think he wanted to.
I don't think he could buy the Lakers with me.
Probably would have went broke. No messing with them players, man. But hey, I like Vanderbilt, too. I don't want to just, not throw that in there. Vanderbilt is one of my favorite guys in the league, man. Especially on the defensive side of the ball. I like that guy.
So we can't have a DFT episode without covering a little bit of the field. So we got Jair Alexander. Jair Alexander has officially signed with the Baltimore Ravens with a one-year contract worth up to $6 million, base salary $4 million, with up to $2 million in incentives. Obviously, Jair Alexander has been one of the premier corners in the NFL for the last few years. Obviously, he's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's a former first-round pick in 2018. And a little connection, he's was college teammate of Lamar Jackson in Louisville, and I believe there's also roommates at one point as well. And 24 hours before, or a little less than 24 hours before the Ravens signed Jair Alexander, Lamar Jackson said in a press that he told urging GM Eric DaCosta to go get him, Eric, go get him. So he got his guy in Jair Alexander in the building playing corner. He's going to join a loaded secondary with Nate Wiggins, Shadobi Awuzie, Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton, and Malachi Starks. Obviously, he's been limited on 14 games total over the last two seasons due to a couple of injuries on shoulder, knee, groin, and he had a one-game suspension last season, I believe. So what do you think about this move, Baltimore Ravens getting Jair Alexander for pretty much pennies on the dollar?
I don't know what the Ravens are doing right now, but they're grabbing some great guys, and they're grabbing them for very cheap. So the Ravens, I need it, man. Yeah. I need a ring, man. Yeah. You're making the best moves in football right now. Every single offseason, you're making the best moves in football, and it never translates to the season or the playoffs. It never translates.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just keep saying the Ravens, Baltimore making all these great moves, getting these pieces here, getting pieces here. You got the running back last year. Now you got the secondary. Probably the best you can get at home.
Huh? DeAndre Hopkins.
Hopkins over there now?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I completely forgot about that, man. We ain't talked about the field in a minute. Man, you got to hop over there. You got the wide receiver. You got the cornerback now. You got the running back last year. Man, you are completely ready to win football games. You win football games and you keep choking in the playoff. I can't see it no more, man. Patrick Mahomes is done. He done. Lamar Jackson, I need you to get you one next year. Next year is your year. If you don't get it next year, man, I don't think you ever going to get it. But I want to see the Ravens get into a winning position. The defense is ready. The offense is ready. I'm scared of the team next year, for sure.
Yeah. Like you said, the Ravens made a lot of moves in the last couple of seasons. Obviously, you get all of Derrick Henry last year, who had an amazing year for the Ravens this year. I know he has some MVP votes. I also got Jerry Alexander. We just talking about that. They got DeAndre Hopkins for on a 1 year, $5 million deal. Maybe he can be where Odell wasn't a couple years ago.
Odell was cool, bro. It was cool.
That was his last good season for sure. But Chidobe Awuzie, he's on the team now as well.
Who is that?
He's the corner that used to play for the Titans.
Yeah, I ain't been following Tennessee in a minute. I mean, you got to put me on, man. I know. You just said a crazy name.
He's
I was
pretty
like,
good. He's pretty good corner, okay, man. Okay. And they got Cooper Rush from the Dallas Cowboys.
Wait,
Cooper Rush. Backup QB.
When did they get Cooper Rush? Man,
you don't remember
getting we gotta put the field in here a little more, man. I'm forgetting too much information.
That was before season 2 started. Okay, for sure. But yeah, Cooper Rush in the building, a good insurance, valuable backup behind Lamar Jackson. And it's able to re-sign the offensive tackle, Ronnie Stanley, the offensive tackle, former Pro Bowler, to a 3-year deal. And was able to get their fullback, Patrick Ricard, one of premier fullbacks in NFL. So, I mean, the Ravens, they got all the pieces that they need. They just got to win. They got to get over the hump, man.
They got more pieces than they need. They should have won last year. Win the championship this year. This is your last chance. If you don't win this year, you lose these free agents you just picked up now. Mm-hmm. You're never going to win while Lamar Jackson. Win next year. Next year is your shot.
I think that's it. Anything else you want to talk about?
Shout out Bo Nix.
Well, that's it. That's all. For episode 4 of season 2 of the Fan Take, I'm Cam, that's Tweety, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, see, I'm in the thunder. I be feeling like I'm chick. Switch up like KD, Draymond, don't give me a tick. Double team, bitch, in your bitch. Hooping like I'm on the net. Working hard, can't get no rest. I wrapped it right off my chest.